I'd like to welcome everybody to Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to first start with 282, and then after we do that, Mark Kaysen, if you don't mind, do the opening prayer. 282, I know that my Redeemer lives.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. He wills that I should wholly be in word and thought in thee. Then I his holy face may see when from this earth life free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that unto sinful men his saving grace is I know that he will come again to take me home on high. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Might strengthen our minds and open our hearts. We might be receptive to those things. We might be willing, Father, to seek what you would have us to do. And we might put aside our own desires and just serve you faithfully in this life. Father, we pray for those of our number who are away this evening. Pray that you would watch over them and keep them safe and bring them home safely to us again. Father, we are so humbled by your great love and your mercy that while we were your enemies, that we were without hope and most pitiful state to be in, you were willing to not just make it possible for us to be reconciled with you, but to offer your very Son on the cross. It defies the ability to understand, Father, such great love. And we are so very thankful that you're willing to do that. You've given us a second chance, Father, and we pray that you grant us wisdom and you take advantage of what you've done for us, what Jesus has done for us. Please look down upon us in tender mercy. Please forgive us for your failure, you, Father, if we will repent of those things that are wrong and do no more. We ask this in Jesus' dear name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Hebrews chapter 5, guys. Hebrews chapter 5. Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of verses just to bring us up to speed where we left off last week, and then I'll get some others to read the area that we haven't covered yet, which is basically 11 through 14. 11 we didn't get to last week. We stopped at verse 10, talking about Melchizedek. We were preparing ourselves what's going to come in some chapters to come, especially when we get over to the 7th chapter. We'll talk more about that later. We were discussing last week as our class was winding down, verse 8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And we talked about how is it that Jesus had to learn something when he was God. I thought God knows everything. And the point that we made was what? How could he learn even though he was God?
Because he learned in the flesh from makeup.
That's right. So he had never experienced what we go through on a fleshly basis. And he learned by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And I want to stop there and talk about that because we didn't talk about that last week. That verse really clears up some false teaching that is out there in a lot of religious groups. And so what's important for us to notice in that passage? What false doctrines does that one expose? What's that, Mallory? All of them? We're looking for a little more specific than that, but that's... Warren?
Well, the Calvinistic approach is... No, there's so many denominations that embrace a piece of Calvinism. They don't just say, well, we're all Calvinistic.
That's right.
They take a piece and they use a piece. And one of them is like, you know, I don't know what part of that tool of doctrine it is, but the one who's... You can't help yourself, you're going to be saved.
That's right. That's right.
Predestination.
Well, it gets into predestination, and that's why predestination is a subject pre-Tula. You talk about predestination, and that leads into the Tula, because it's all part of their teaching. And the specific one that you were talking about is the you. You're unconditionally elected. Okay? God picks and chooses who's going to heaven, who's not going to heaven. And this passage, yes, he is the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. So he's not the author of eternal salvation for those who don't obey him?
I think that's the point, that he gave them this free will to obey or not to obey. It's our choice. It's not his. It's out there. There it is. It's up to us to choose which way.
That's it. And you brought it right back into Calvinism again, because that whole idea of having free will, they say you don't. We just got into that discussion this week with some folks. Again, that those that want to put the unconditional upon that. And here it is. He mentions the fact that, yes, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation. We say, well, was that conditional? That was unconditional. It wasn't conditional upon us being so great. What did Mark just mention in his prayer? Well, we were still sinners. Christ died for us. The Father sent his Son for us. So we didn't earn that grace that he sent for us. But that grace that was sent doesn't benefit you or me unless what? Unless we obey. That's what he's talking about here. We must obey. And so this goes, it flies in the face of those people who say you shouldn't have to do anything to be saved. You have to obey. Thessalonians letter. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and on those who have not obeyed the gospel. We are required to do our part. That's why we're told. What? Work out your own salvation with what?
Fear and trembling.
You got to work it out. You have to do it. And Jesus, is, again, this book of Hebrews, the superiority of Christ, which is great. You want to talk about him and all the things that he is doing. The Hebrew writer has to tie in your responsibilities towards him. So he's doing it. Okay? Now, having said that, he says, called by God as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, which we discussed last week. I want us to talk about verse 11. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. What's that all about, folks? What's that all about? Think of the book. Think of the people, man.
If they're not really hearing what's being taught, they're just kind of, taking it in, but not really doing anything.
Okay. That is true. Anything else, Mallory?
I think, you know how like you can skim reading? They were kind of like skim hearing. They were only like hearing the gist of it, not really what was saying. They're just hearing what they wanted to hear and not really like paying attention. They weren't quick to accept that.
Okay. EJ?
I don't know what with itchy ears.
Well, the itching ears are more those people that want to hear lies. Okay? These guys don't want to hear anything. Well, they're dull. One of the versions has the word slow. Okay?
Sluggish.
Yeah. And so if you're not going to be eager to learn, do you ever notice somebody that's just like hanging on every word? You know, that they just finally want to hear this guy? You know, it's like getting instructions from, you know, like, you know, I'm a terrible golfer. And then, hey, that guy over there, Phil, says he'll help you out. You know.
Bill
Anyway, so you go there, you like, you know, you pay attention to everything that he had to say. You know, if you got a pro there, you know, you're eager, you're listening, you're like, go ahead. You know, you're not paying attention. I want you to tell me now, why are they like that? It's very important if we're going to learn anything. Why have they become like this? Consider your audience.
Old law and old traditions.
Okay. Anything to expand on that, guys? He tells them, we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing.
Became dull of hearing? Like, at one time they weren't?
I'm glad you picked up on it. That's powerful. How do you become, right? In other words, they had it, which tells us all that it can happen to us. We can become dull of hearing. You know, at one time, you know, we're eager and we're anxious and we're hanging on and we're learning. And then all of a sudden, you kind of lose that. How does that happen? Well, Tony was talking about, well, you know, you've got these traditions. You know, we had our traditions. We've been doing things, just going through the motions for years without even thinking about it. Andrew?
It kind of reminds me of over in James chapter 1 saying that we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And after the context of about looking into that mirror, it goes on in verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. That's what I'm getting out of this as well, is it's they're not applying themselves. All they're doing is just hearing, and it's to the point to where their senses and their abilities is dwindling.
That's
sharpening their skills.
Well, it has to be sharp because, you know, the argumentation that he does in the book of Hebrews, it's like the best lawyer that ever existed. If you want to show the superiority of Christ over the old law, listen to all that he says. It's excellent. It's excellent. It's powerful. But if you're not paying attention, you're not picking up on that, right? It's like being in a Bible discussion. I remember being in a discussion this week, you know, and I just like threw the perfect passage. You know, we're throwing these verses out here. How can you say that? Look what it says right over here. And he's like, anyways, you're not listening. You're not listening. You're not paying attention.
But
sharp. Oh, go ahead.
But it's like if we don't apply ourselves, how easy it is to forget.
Oh, yeah.
Even for the principles.
Which we get into in the next chapter, because I was going to, in the first few verses of the next chapter, I'm going to say, well, what were those things? And that's the things we're talking about now, so that'll save time to remember that. Charlotte.
I can give one good way to let a sermon go one in one ear and out the other, is to not have this and to not follow through, not like flip through,
right,
and look for the scriptures, and then... It's just really easy if you're not following along, or if your mind is somewhere else or whatever.
It's so true. And guys, there's another verse, another phrase in this same verse, but I always start the front or the back, and sometimes we never, ever, ever get to the middle. Dan, get to 2 Peter, please. I want you to read 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want you to read verses 14 through 16, but it's really 16 I'm looking at, okay?
Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, but also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some of the things hard to understand, which the untaught and unable and unstable distort, as they do the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction.
Okay. Now, you guys remember in that verse that we just read, it said, "For we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." Hard to explain. Are the scriptures hard to explain? In light of what Peter just said, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scripture. He's not saying you can't understand the scripture. How come these people that Peter were talking about, how come they didn't understand?
So twisting it to the way they wanted it.
Okay, twisted, and he says,
go ahead. They weren't studying. They didn't.
Yeah, untaught. Right. Yeah, they weren't studying. So if you're untaught, do you ever notice in Bible discussions, and I really get into this with brethren that fall away, do you ever notice how knowledgeable they are? Supposedly. You know, I'm just amazed at the confidence that people have and the defenses they make without the Word of God.
I find that most people that I talk to that are of other, denominations, I don't know how I want to put that, but they all rely on someone else.
Yes.
Everybody says, well, that's what I've been taught. This is what my preacher says. You know, nobody can open up a Bible and can tell you anything.
Well, and that ties right into our whole context of Hebrews, right, guys? Because most of the epistles that we read and the brethren that got into trouble concerning the old law, and we'll keep it in its context, how did that happen? How did it happen in those churches where Paul had to write letters? Yeah, but how did it happen?
And they spoke up.
Somebody came in. Somebody came in, brought this stuff, and started propagating it. I mean, you know, this is what we're teaching. And you know what? If you're unlearned, you're untaught, you're dull of hearing, you know what? You can't say it. You just take it in. You just believe it. And like that gets back to what TJ said. I just believe what they have to say, but what does this say? Well, that's not what I was taught. That's not, you know, what everybody else around me believes. The Hebrew brethren, folks, I mean, the writer is just being totally frank with them. I don't know how you would react if somebody wrote you a letter and said, you know what? You guys, do you imagine how you've become dull?
When you're studying this, I always think back, going back like to Peter, the first sermon. You know, he gave them a history of the Jews. He explained to Stephen. He explained it to them. Went back. Give them the history. One group accepts it, the next group not so. But I'm saying there was a large portion of those people who really, truly, either they just ignored it or they just didn't know it. And I think there was probably a lot of them just didn't really want to accept it.
Well, or as TJ pointed out, in a period of time, and I could say short, but time is relative. But they went from people who were taught to the stage where they became dull of hearing. They weren't always that way. And that's the lesson for you and I as we're going through this. Well, Chuck, I don't have any problem. I don't want to go back under the old law. Okay, that's good. What about some other area? You might not have a problem with Calvinism per se. But, you know, there is worldly things that are going on out there. The morality issue that is out there. We can become very dull. I mean, you might hear a sermon up here where somebody's preaching against denominationalism, and you're holding your best self. You want to jump up and say, hey, amen. But then when he starts talking about some morality thing, you know, depending on the issue, and that's the lesson at hand. Now,
I think another way you can become dull is if there isn't that encouragement of, you know, participation or asking questions. You get shut down all the time, like if you're thinking and you want to know more and you're asking questions, but you continually get shut down, then you're going to stop listening because listening makes you think, and when you think you get, you know, nobody wants to talk to you or answer your questions or help you grow, so Why do that? Amen.
Well, you're answering how does it happen, and that's true. And I'd like to use your illustration by saying we got to force ourselves. You know, if these brethren got themselves into this situation, who do you blame here? You become dull of hearing. Who do you blame? Who is he blaming? Them. You have become dull of hearing. Those people caused you to become dull of hearing. No. You became dull of hearing. So we're all accountable for that. We have to watch it. So Mallory, I want you to read 12 through 14 for us, because we have heard a lot of sermons on this, and let's get into it.
For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
Oh, wow. All right, let's just camp here for the rest of the week. Because you know you could never study this too much. So we'll just take it a section at a time. Well, actually, before I do that, we just read through it. You guys have heard it before. What part of this section jumps out at you? I mean, really, there's a number of things for different people. I can think of one thing that jumps out at me, but when you read through that, what jumped out at you?
At least the basic part of it.
You ought to be teachers. Who's he talking to? You guys ought to be teachers. You don't have to be teachers. Who are you going to teach? Are you going to get up and preach, Nancy?
No.
Okay.
But I can teach somebody that's just coming in.
Okay.
For what?
But you're not going to be able to teach if you don't know what to teach.
Right.
You know?
Well, isn't the idea, too, is, I know it's not explicitly here, is that our life is teaching. And the bottom line is that sometimes I may not be teaching the right thing because of the way I'm living.
Sure.
And again, it goes back to, I think, with James, you know, I can have all this faith that the demons believe, but they're not enacting on their faith. And I think that as you look at these verses, isn't that what's happened here? Why are they not able to teach? Because their faith hasn't put them to a level that they're able to teach verbally. And obviously, there's a problem then with the teaching that they're doing in their life as well.
That's what we have to stop and dwell on tonight. We teach by, you know, you just mentioned it, you said by example. Now listen to this question carefully. Can your example get somebody into heaven? Just your example. Listen to me. Just your example. Does that get anybody into heaven?
No.
What do they need?
To be taught.
They need to be taught. Okay. They need the gospel. Now you're letting your light shine before men so they can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But you guys often worded it in your prayers that we want people to see us and we want them to ask. We want them to notice what we have that they would want it too. Right? You know, you just seem to be content. You seem to be happy. You seem to have purpose in life. You don't seem to be a complainer. You just seem to be a person that has what I'd like to have. You're going to have to open up your mouth sooner or later. They need to hear the gospel. That's what go into all the world and be an example of the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, okay? Yes, our life does that, but I think what Aaron was pointing out is that if you don't even have this, how are you going to do it? Mark?
Well, I could bring 2 Peter 3:15 in. We teach by being ready to give an answer within us. That's how we teach.
Were these guys ready to do that, Mark?
Not at this point.
What happened?
Probably one time they were. But then they got that dull of hearing, got complacent.
And that's the danger. Go ahead there, Tom.
No.
Okay. I saw your hand here.
Well, I think it goes back to a lesson you preached not too long ago about, you know, this idea then that they have then a lack of faith. And so they've got to build their faith to be able to teach others. And so the importance of us to build and on our faith. in the scriptures, there's nothing that talks about maintaining. There's talks about growth.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. The holding your own concept? No. It's bad. You know. And I like that. That's, again, as a church, as members of the body of Christ, this is for me. This is for you. And when he says you ought to be teachers, now I realize that people grow at different levels. I understand that, folks. And we have different abilities. I understand that. But if you sit back and tell me, if Andrew and Charlotte say, we can't teach that, we're not going to say a word. Who am I? I'm new at this. I don't have any experience as a mom. I don't have any experience as a dad. Do they have any? Well, they maybe have a little bit now, but, you know, go back a little bit. You know, go back a month, we'd go, this much experience. Zero. Okay? Zero. So they're not going to try? Well, of course they're going to try. You're going to make mistakes? Yeah. You're going to do some things that are right? Yeah. And you're constantly growing. And that's where I see he's talking about verse 13. What's the lesson of verse 13 with teaching guys? What's the lesson? We always use it with, let's say, weightlifting. What's the lesson? Was that? Yeah, use it or lose it. Use it. And he mentions here, soul and food belongs to those who are full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, what happens to teachers on the job? What happens to teachers on the job? They receive questions. They always know the answer?
No.
But, you know, they, what do they say? Steel sharpens steel. You know, you help each other, and we're all growing together. But you have to use it, or you lose it. And you have to discern, and you have to challenge, and be challenged. As Mallory mentioned earlier, you ask questions, and you're learning, and you make comments. And, you know, the worst thing that can happen is if, you know, Kelsey makes a comment, go, well, no, Kelsey, that's not what he's talking about. She goes, no, there are times when people just like, you have to learn. If something's wrong, okay. And then you build on that. That's the point that he's talking about here. Now, what's the problem with milk anyway? I noticed the verse before that says milk. You got to have milk.
But you're just staying at one spot. You're not growing, not adding to it so that you can... get more solid food and learning, you're not going to grow.
What is the milk? I think he gives us an idea what the milk is.
That's
here.
The first food,
right?
First principles. First principles. Okay. Now this is going full circle back to what Aaron talked about. What do we all need in the beginning?
Milk.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Bait. See, Aaron was talking about how you have to build on that, guys. If this doesn't increase, if your faith doesn't increase, it decreases. And with faith comes what? What comes with faith? Hopefully. I'm thinking things like courage comes with faith. Confidence comes, I like that. Assurance comes with faith.
Well, I think Mark already answered it. Answers.
It answers? Okay. Yeah, it defends. It defends. You see, I love that concept too, guys, because it isn't just the idea that you are trying to help Fred obey the gospel. You're trying to tell Harry, no, I'm not wrong. You're defending, you know, or what you're teaching, that's just wrong. So there is that idea of wanting to help people to learn, but give a defense for the hope that's within you. Why do you attend here? Why do you do what you do? Guys, if you don't, how many times have you preached that here? It's one thing to have faith, but I'll tell you, what's more important than having faith is knowing why you have faith. Why? Why do you believe what you believe? No, people think it's so important. Well, I just believe. No, it's not important. That's not the most important thing. It's why do you believe what you believe? Because, you know, TJ could say, I believe in God. Really, why? Well, because Chuck does. Wrong, okay? These guys are just like you and me. They obeyed, okay? They had received the first principles. They were on the milk. Every one of us, okay, they're Christian. We're on the milk, okay? But we have to get to the meat. When do we get to the meat?
When you're ready.
Oh, I like that one. As fast as you can. Okay? I think this passage tells us here how you get there as fast as you can. How do you get there as fast as you can?
Study.
Study? What else?
Teach.
How long do you have to run? Jump in. You know when I think of these animals that are born out in the wild, you know, and they try to get them to stand up as fast as they can. Get ready. The enemy's coming. And trying to prepare us. That's what we try to do here, guys. We try to get you guys to do as much as you can. It might seem like little things that we'll do. You know, hey, I gave Aaron and Chanel, I don't know, how many did I give you? I think it's been three in the last couple of days. Three more people that want to receive the bulletin, you know, and you guys volunteer, let me do this. Just ways that we can be involved in the work. Providing opportunities to teach, things like this. Especially, you know, it seems like more for the men, but even with the ladies' class, and rotation of the teachers and all that. That's what we're talking about here, guys, because he's saying this idea of, and help me out here, this idea of participating in teaching classes, leading songs, leading prayers, even teaching a class, preaching from time to time. What does that all do for you in the big picture? What does that do for you? Build you up?
Gives you knowledge.
Your knowledge. Okay. You know what I see a big thing with all that is? It prepares you for the next level. It's always preparing you for something else. And there is just so much work that needs to be done. And what I'm reading in this passage here is, if you're going to stay on course, you can't allow others to sway you. And so you need to have a strong faith. You need to have your feet on the solid rock. And that only comes through study and in practicing what you preach. In other words, doing what it says, obedience, and trying to share that with others. Guys, I get excited when people will email me and say, I was talking to a coworker today. I was talking to a friend of mine today. And I told somebody the other day about the free Bible correspondence course we have, and that they want me to go ahead and send it. It's stuff like this that we're always thinking in terms of evangelism, because evangelism gets back to the heart of the lesson here. When you're interested in sharing, you're always growing. And so Nancy, when she comes into the room here tonight, she says, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm wanting to learn. And that's what we need to be like. And I look at these brethren here, of the way they ended up. And we need that solid food. So a lot of good stuff in here, guys. And I know I probably overlooked some things. But is there anything in these verses, 12 through 14, that I have forgot to bring up? Mark, read your mind.
Oh, no.
I read your mind.
Especially tonight. Not necessarily those, but in talking about faith and everything, I've gone to, like, again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He starts out with the list, and the first one right out of the chute is faith. Okay, add to your faith.
Right.
Keep adding. Then you go flip over to, like, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Now faith, hope and love abides these three, and the greatest of these is love. But yet faith is right there. So it seems like that's a foundational piece of it.
It is. And of course, we know that's the source of it, right? Mark, will you open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? I want you to read the first three verses there. Tony, you're going to have to go over there to my favorite text. I won't let you read all of it, but go to Psalm 119, okay? Psalm 119. That 94 through 104, but I'll probably just get you to read 104 or maybe 103 and 104, but that whole section is great. But first of all, Mark, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first three verses.
And I, brother, do not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I give you meal and drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not fleshly and you are not walking like your men.
I like this text. In light of what we've been talking about, here is something similar where Paul says, I fed you with milk, not with solid food, You were not able to receive it, but he says, even now you're still not able to. Why? Because you're carnally minded. Because you don't want to go on. You have these other things that are holding you back. And getting back to what Mark and Aaron were just talking about, this idea of the lack of faith, it's going to hold you back. The lack of faith is going to hold any child of God back from that maturity level. You need that faith. If you forget the fundamentals, those first principles that we talked about, you know, give me a fundamental lesson that everybody needs to learn. You know, here's somebody that doesn't know a thing. What is it that person really needs to know? Come on, basic, fundamental thing. Okay, you got those promises and understanding the scriptures, which ultimately pointed towards who, Samantha? Ultimately, who's coming? Christ. This guy, he's got to know Jesus. But what does he need to know about Jesus? He's the Son of God. He died for our sins. What else? Resurrected and? Still reigning. Has what? What does he have? All of it. So he has all the authority. Fundamental, right? You forget that, how are you going to move on? I've seen guys move on, and they're in the pulpits, and they're teaching, and they forgot, wait a second. Jesus has all the authority. He's the head of the church. You don't make the rules.
Is it worth noting here where it says discern both good and evil? Is it worth noting that it's not... I mean, I feel like it's... Yeah, you can know what's wrong. I just feel like it's adding to what we've already said, but... You can know evil, and you can know that, okay, this is wrong, but it's also telling you to know what's right.
Yes, and that's why I have this passage here in Psalm 119. And with what you said, TJ, listen to this. I hope I have enough there, Tony.
103 and 104.
Yeah, go ahead and read that.
How sweeter your words to my face, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
There it is. That's what TJ was just talking about. You know, he spends that 97 all the way through, and how much I love your word. It's sweet like honey to my lips. And I just love, it makes me wiser than my enemies. I just love your word. It's so great and wonderful. And then he says, therefore, I hate every false way. You can't love what is right without hating what is bad. And when people out there, when I see people who claim to be Christians and they're comfortable around sin, guess what? They haven't moved ahead. Their faith has held them back. It's weak because, like Paul described here, you become carnal. Your faith is what's holding you back. And people often wonder, how come I'm not where I need to be? I can tell you. Your faith is holding you back. The lack thereof. But for I'm telling you, it's amazing. I've seen people, new converts, teach more people than people who've been members of the church for 20 years. How is that possible? How's that possible? Zeal, love for the lost, going up, and I'll tell you what, with the mistakes that they say in teaching, and they learn, they grow leaps and bounds from their mistakes. Remember I told you that sister was in the back seat, you know, so her friend was just obeyed the gospel up in Canada, and we're driving her home, and her friend says, you know, do we speak in tongues today? And here's this, her friend who's a Christian, they're both Christians, but the real new one there asks, do we speak in tongues? And here's this Christian saying, no, that's under the old law. And I'm going, no, that's not the right answer, okay? You know, but you turn around and tell them, well, actually, you know, she's going to learn from that. She learned from that, okay? There's that desire of wanting to teach, but you know what? Sometimes the zeal has to be according to knowledge, right? Romans chapter 10. If you don't have the knowledge, the zeal, you're going to be in trouble, okay? But with that desire of moving forward, wanting to help people, hating, I'm just glad you brought up that, TJ, because I didn't bring that up in our talking about this, because I don't know if there's enough distaste for false teaching. Well, let's just preach on love. You know, there are a lot of groups. Let's just preach on love. Let's have positive teaching. Let's be positive, positive, positive. Oh, you're not going to preach about something negative, are you? Well, you can't love truth without hating evil. They just go together. In bird jail. Go ahead, Chuck.
It seems that what the world wants Christians to do today is not dislike anything. And I noticed that with the gay marriage disputes going on right now, one of my friends had posted up something on Facebook opposing gay marriage, and she got a lot of hate back on it, and this guy accused her of being a hater. And he was being very using foul language and all sorts of things, and he was accusing her of being a hater and saying, you know, how could you be a Christian? And you know, then she got a lot of her friends that were defending her, but it just kind of made me think about how, like, she's trying to teach or, you know, get the word out.
But that's the way the world is. The world, in our religious friends, they really don't care that you disagree with them, folks. Just don't tell them they're wrong. Seriously, they're comfortable. They're comfortable. Just don't say they're wrong. Just don't point the finger at error. Hold those thoughts. What they're saying is, I don't care if you're not for a gay marriage. Just keep it to yourself. Just keep it to yourself is all they're saying. And when it comes to truth, we're not going to hold back. And guys, you must understand the context of this in the book that we're reading, because when he points this out, do you know how hard it is going to be for these people when they really get grounded in the gospel and the superiority of Christ to say, you know what, you're right. We're not under that old law anymore. And to go back under that, I hate the idea of going back under that. Do you know how hard that would be for them with the people that they know, their friends and family? You see, you can see how important it is for the Hebrew writer saying, you know what, you need to love what is good, you need to hate that which is evil. And you discern that as you grow. And I'm glad Charlie brought that up, because you know what? As you stand for what's right, you're going to have opposition. So, as a Hebrew writer, if I'm going to pretend to be the Hebrew writer, I'm going to say, look, I'm going to teach you some things here, guys. But if you take a hold of this, not everybody's going to like you for that. Because they want you to hold on to that old law.
Like the kind of a slight spin. But what happens if some members, like let's say this congregation, where you have some members who are reading, they're eating, they're growing, whereas you may have some other people, some other members that may not be doing the same effect. It's like, and in essence, it's like some parts of members of the body is getting all the nutrients, and it's working itself, but it's not benefiting and helping the other parts of the members. All of the individual parts must work together in order for the entire body to really take effect. The passage brought to my mind was in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 16, it says, "From whom the whole body, being fitted together and held together by every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love." So as an individual basis, we might be able to say we are growing, we are maturing, but if some of us who are not doing the same effect could not...
Yeah, we would not be reaching our full potential.
Right.
If others aren't. And that's what he described in the church at Sardis, Revelation 3. Some of you have not stained your garments, whereas others are not living up to their name. You have a name which is alive, but you are dead. You had your hand up a moment ago.
That made me kind of just roll with something else. That'd be like Tony only lifted weights with one arm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be kind of odd.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right.
Smaller.
And as a church, you don't want the one that's not doing anything say, I'll just let others do it. You know what? Will the others do it anyway? Yeah, they're going to do their job. Okay. We're not going to say, well, they're not going to do it, I'm not. No, we're going to grow, we're going to focus on that. But we want everybody to, is the point. That's the point that he's making here. We want every member. And if a person says, well, okay, so I haven't, he's rebuking them, folks. He wasn't praising them for this. And so there is no excuse for any of us to lag behind and say, I'm not going to. I realize people go from this to this, as you guys mentioned a moment ago. Do this as quickly as possible. But I know some get there faster than others. But you know what? We all need to get there. We need to get off the milk. But if we learn anything from our lesson today, don't forget the milk. Don't forget the fundamentals. Because people want to go on to the meat of the word. I've sat down in my very first Bible class and somebody wants to talk premillennialism. And I'm thinking, you need to talk about salvation. You need to learn about the church. You want to get into the meat of the word, you need to get on the meat. You're going to choke. Right? I mean, you're not going to give little Tabitha here and have a steak.
Yeah.
That's from Chick-fil-A. It's not going to work. It might be good, but it's not going to be good for her. And so we just need to take things in process, in steps at a time. And that's why it's very important as teachers. I'm preaching to myself here. As teachers, and guys, remember this. Ladies, when you're teaching, other guys, when you're teaching a class, you have to remember that if you only approach it from this standpoint, you're in trouble. Because you don't want to lose people who are here. You want to bring them along. And you don't want to just stay here all the time. I've seen people that have been starving to death. I know of places they starve to death because they have never gotten any meat, ever. And you sat in their Bible class and said, man, this is Mickey Mouse stuff. These guys have been around here for 30 years. Let's grow. Let's get into the Word. Let's talk about it. Let's think about it. No, because the only one's talking is the teacher. Nobody wants to participate. Get into it. Have you ever sat through a class? Kid you not. Okay, we're going through the book of Hebrews. Reads verse 1, says, well, it means what it says, what it means. Any comments? Okay, next verse. And I just sit through a class, 45 minutes of that, just reading a verse, no comments, means what it says what it means, moves on. You're not going to grow. You're not going to. And these brethren here did not grow. Samantha?
That reminds me of when we first moved here to Evansville, we went to a church, and it was a Church of Christ, and we went there for over a year, and we never grew. We started coming here, and within a month, Kevin was baptized. So, it's just...
It's classic age.
It's exactly
yeah. So. And you have to apply yourself. And I tell people, you have to look out for yourself. I am not a big favor of people, especially when you get places where there's a lot of churches around, and people church hop. And I remember what I told the brethren here when we started. Hey, no sheep stealing, okay? We're just here. Let's grow, reach the lost. But I'll tell you, when somebody is starving to death, you feed them. And you got to look after yourself. I tell people, look, it's your salvation. You say, well, I'll try to tough it out and stay on milk for the next 20 years. No, you lose your soul. You better do something about it. And so if anything, we leave here tonight saying, if I'm not growing, What's that word you used, Aaron? You don't read maintaining.
No such thing.
No. You can't do it. If you're in a canoe in a river and it's flowing backwards, you can't just hold yourself. You're going to either go backwards, you got to work hard to go forward. To maintain, it's just not good. It's just not. Go ahead.
And I would just say, I know you're running out of time. Yeah, I would say a good passage and a good book for that would be 1 Corinthians. Okay. And then dealing with 1 Corinthians 13. And I think that, chapter 13, we look at so much at love, like you were talking about. But I think you got to dive deeper in there about what he's talking about about love and where they were in chapter 1 and chapter 2. He's talking about, bottom line, their love for the truth. And that's what happened. Their gifts of prophecy and tongues and everything means nothing if they don't love the truth. And if they love the truth, they'll love others. That was the example of Jesus. Jesus treated people the way he treated because of his love for God. His love for truth caused him to touch people that didn't know his Father.
And everybody loved him, right? See, that's the point. That's the point. You can do this, guys, and you can go forward. And one thing that'll happen is if you're around somebody who doesn't want to go forward, you're going to make them uncomfortable. They don't want to be around you. You're talking about the Bible. You're not talking about reaching the lost. You're making me look bad. And that happens. And you don't want to apologize for that. Look, I just want to love the Lord, love the truth, and move forward. Thanks, guys. I knew we would spend that much time, but it was profitable time spending on that. Thank you for your comment.